died for you. Now, when I was a young fella, I'd heard that Jesus loved the God loved the world. But you know, a selfish little hooligan, that doesn't interest you, something that everybody else has got. But when I heard that Jesus died for me, then that put it into perspective. So really, this story applies to you. If you're a Christian here today, you got into the boat with Jesus to go through life's journey. And if you're not a Christian, you can get into the boat with the rest of us. You say, well, I'm not very good. Neither am I. Say, well, if you knew my past, not the slightest bit interested in your past. It's nothing to do with me. And if you ask God to forgive you, he will. And if you accept that what he did on the cross was for you, then you can get in the boat with the rest of us. So the big question is this, are you in the boat? Yeah. Are you in the boat? Well, that's great. You might be thinking, well, I'm not sure. Well, maybe the service will be a help to you. So they started out. One day Jesus said to them, let's go over to the other side. So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. Now that encourages me no end. I love that verse because I'm 60. How old am I? What year is this? Is this 69? 29. Well, I'm 68. I know I look older, but then you don't know the woman I'm married to. No. I should put a lot of it. Honestly, I'd look about 20 if it won't, you know. You're not recording this, are you? Are you? Wonderful woman. Great cook. No video, is there? Great cook. Anyway, so why did I say that? And I find I get tired about 6 o'clock in the evening. Dreadful. I don't know what hits me. I mean, I was up this morning. I won't tell, not to come here, I get up early every morning, but I'm up at 6. Next Sunday, I'll be up at 5, and I'll be in my car at 6, and I'll be in London at 8:30. No problem. But about tea time, I'm going. Honestly. And later on in the evening, if I'm watching a program and I fall asleep while I'm watching a program that my wife isn't interested in, oh, you think I'd committed a crime. Wake up! You wanted this on, not me. So, you know, and she gets, you know, I say, tell you what I'm going to do. For the sake of our marriage, you can have the remote. So I refuse to touch the remote. Yeah, I refuse to touch the remote now. Harmony has been restored and I can nod off whenever I want. And it's nice to know that Jesus fell asleep. Now, the silly story about that, but do you know why I think it's great? Well, first of all, I think it's great that somebody in his 30s fell asleep during the day. But he's so human. Isn't that lovely? He's so human to fall asleep. He gets in the boat, he probably gets a bit of space, and he gets his head down. And I think that's so human. And sometimes we think, oh, Jesus is so marvelous. And he is all powerful. Yes, he's all these wonderful things. But let me tell you now, he had a sleep during the day. Why? Because he was tired. He probably got up early to pray. All sorts of things were going on. He walked miles. I don't need to justify why he fell asleep. I'm just glad he did. And that shows me that he knows what it's like. So when I say, Lord, I keep nodding off, he says, do you know what? I know what that's like. Or, do you know what, I've been betrayed. He said, I know what that's like. Oh, Lord, I've got this pain. He says, I know what that's like. He knows what it's like because he's became one of us. So this idea that he's a remote, he is. He's the Son of God. He's marvelous. We've been singing and worshiping him. We're going to remember his death, resurrection before we're finished. But he said, get into the boat. And he fell asleep. Again, just reminding us about his humanity. Then it says there, as they sailed, he fell asleep, a squall came down on the lake. Now, I've done a little bit of this. The squall is something that happens very quickly. That's my understanding. So it wasn't always a bit blowy and the wind got up and a little bit later on. And think, well, let's get to the other side before the storm arrives. It's one of these things that really happened and no one was expecting it. But they set out and there they are, and then on the lake. And as the boat, it was quite severe. It says, so the boat was being swamped. Wow. Imagine that. So we haven't got a big boat. We're not talking about that cruise you went on. We're talking about this small fishing boat, probably. And the waves were swamping it. In other words, they had to bail out quicker than the water was coming in, or else they're going to be in trouble. And in case you think this was just a little bit of a, a boating lake thing. It says there, Luke says they were in great danger. Wow. This is serious. They're in a boat. They're swamping it. They're bailing out. And water's coming in quick. They're going out. They're in great danger. And what do they do? The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. Now, he was still asleep while this is going on. And the reason is this. He knew that he would never drown. He wouldn't drown. You see, he had an appointment in his diary later to visit the cross. And it was the Father's will that he should go to the cross, and Easter's coming. So whatever circumstances may have taken place externally, that date was in God's diary. So he could relax because he knew whatever happened, there would be a way through and there would be no danger. But the disciples went and woke him. I just need to turn to this, what the others said in that way. It says there, in Mark it says, they said to him. In Luke it says, they woke him, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Okay? They thought they were going to drown. Mark's account of this is, they said to Jesus, don't you care? Now, those words, don't you care, are probably the harshest words that were ever said to Jesus. Apart from the lies they told about him, but you know what I'm saying, from the disciples, don't you care? Please let me say this to you. If you're in a storm now, you're going through a tough time, and you say to me, why is this happening to me? I want to tell you now, I do not know. Let's get that one out of the way. I do not know. Right. But I know this, that if you measure God's care by how happy and easy life is, you've misunderstood God's care. So God's care isn't that he takes that we never have any problems. God's care is that in the middle of a storm, he makes sure we get to the other side. He's with us in that. Because let's face it, if you became a Christian, you never had any more problems, everybody would become Christians, there would be no faith involved, people would just do it because they just didn't want to have any problems. And maybe the fact that you're going through a storm now, your friends, your family, your neighbors watch you, and because you have that trust in God, they are probably more impressed by your faith when you're in a storm than when you're on your way to church on a Sunday morning. So here we have it. So we're going to drown. That's the serious. We're going to drown. Secondly, Mark says again, as I said there. I've lost my place here. Don't you care? Matthew says, Lord, save us. We are about to drown. Now, strangely enough, when I was writing the notes for this, I remember an old chorus. Now, I don't know if anybody can finish this off. With Christ in the vessel, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. Right, that'll do, thank you. If others were singing, we would have carried on. But as you were the only voice, I felt it necessary to stop. I don't know why. Pardon? I can't hear you. My hearing aid's not up. And that's a song we used to sing in Sunday school. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Now, whoever wrote that was thinking of this story. So we find the storms of life come. We find the challenges. And just because God doesn't seem to be doing anything, he's like asleep, doesn't alter the situation. You're still his child. He still loves you. He asked you to get into the boat. He told you to go to the other side. You're in the will of God. Therefore, in the middle of that storm, why don't you sit down and see what God's going to do? Now, it's not wrong to pray and say, Lord, what's happening? Of course we do that. Lord, what's going on? I've had people say to me during bereavement particularly, oh, you know, I prayed that my loved one wouldn't die and they did. You know, I don't believe in God. And they say terrible things about God. 3 months later, they come back to me and they say, when the bereavement has gone, they say, well, not bereavement never goes. When the pain has eased, pardon me, There was, oh, I said some terrible things, didn't I, when my husband died or my wife died. I said, yeah, but don't worry about it. He said, why? I said, well, God wasn't listening to you. He wasn't listening. He knew what you were going through. The disciples knew he cared, but in the storm, they said those things. They didn't realize that with Jesus in the boat, there was no way it was going to sink. That with Jesus telling them to the other side, there was no way they weren't going to get there. And that's the Christian life. The storms will come, the challenges will come, but with Christ in the vessel, we know we have that guarantee. With Christ in our hearts, doesn't excuse us from the challenges. And if your faith fades, yes, you can always cry out and he will listen. Okay, so what happened then? Master, master, we're going to drown. He got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. That's all it took, a word from Christ. You know, it tells us in Mark that he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves and said, be quiet, be still. I once heard a preacher say, although I've looked at it and the text doesn't really fit, the preacher said that Jesus got up and said, be quiet, be still. Now, was he talking to the disciples or was he talking to the wind and the waves? And the wind and the waves thought, well, in case he's talking to us, we better do as we're told, but he might have been talking to them. Well, he wasn't talking to them, I've looked at it. But it's an interesting thought, be quiet, be still. But that was to the wind and the waves. He had another question for them. The little interesting factor about this is this, how quickly the storm subsided. You see, I'm told, well, I know, forgive me, that the wind can stop at 12 o'clock, but the sea's motion can continue for quite a time after that because of the momentum, the waves. But everything seemed to happen quickly at the word of Christ. And so they said, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. He rebuked the wind. As I said, Mark 5:39 says, he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, be quiet, be still, completely calm. Now a question is asked by Jesus. So he responded to their need. They woke him. Not a problem. They woke him. He dealt with the situation. Their fear, I nearly said, subsided with the storm. As the storm went, their fear went. And it's always the case where fear and faith are always in challenges. If you had two opposites here, it would be fear and faith. Always a challenge. Am I frightened or am I going to trust in God? And those times will come in our lives. And I'd like to say, every time I faced a challenge, I went for the faith. I'm afraid I didn't. I was brought up in a family where we stood on our own two feet. You know, we were workers. We behaved. I remember my father saying to me when I was a bad lad, I don't know, I know you're up to something, but I don't know what it is. He says, don't bring it home. Take responsibility. Don't bring it home. And that was it. So I'm very much that way. I'd rather push your car to get it going than have you push mine. It's wrong. It's the way I am. It doesn't make me better than you. It's a fault, in fact, really, that I don't often accept help when I should. But here he comes. And he says this. He's got a question for them. It wasn't, he didn't say, why were you frightened? He just said, where's your faith? Why did you not trust me? Did you not understand that if I said we're going to the other side, we'd get there? Did you not understand the very fact I was asleep showed I had no fear? And I thought, well, if Jesus is asleep, oh, well, let's get our heads down, lads, as well. And the issue was faith. Where is your faith? Now, faith is not mind over matter. Faith, the biblical faith isn't saying, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. You know, I'm going to have, my hair's going to grow. My hair's going to grow. That's not faith. That's being silly. Hang on. No, it hasn't. No. Faith is not. We've got to be careful as Christians, and some of you might not understand this, but some of you will. We've got to be careful that we don't have faith in faith. Right? Because if I have enough faith, you know, sadly, there are some people out there, if there are any in this room, don't tell me, There are people in this room that believe that if you had faith, you'd never have any problems. And it's your lack of faith that makes you ill. I've never heard of anything more unbiblical in all my days. And if I was a pastor here, I think I'd be asking you to go and find another church if you're spreading that codswallop around. It's not faith that removes the storm. It's faith in the storm. And the proof is this. Did Jesus lack faith when he was crucified? No. It was part of God's plan. When he was nailed, when he was the crown of thorns, when all that went on, some people say, well, he was in pain. Listen, it's part of God's plan, part of God's plan for you. Then that's it. And so he said, where is your faith? And when you face those, and I'm almost finished, you've listened ever so well, when we face those storms, when that challenge, when the waves become everything, how, when you know the police came, we were in Brecon when my father died. We were poor then. You know, I'm not poor now, but we were poor then. We had no phone. We couldn't afford a phone. We'd go to the phone box and ring our respective. But the police came in the night for me, the same my father had died. I thought some lad in the youth club had got captured by the captured. That's a bit dramatic. Got arrested, and used my name to get himself out of the cells. And they told me my father. We drove down to London from Brecon then. You know. And that was a long journey, a long journey. And then I'm sat in the funeral directors, and my sister comes in and said, you better come home. Kay's sister has died. An 11-year-old girl who we offered to take in, but she went to some other 11-year-old girl who's Kay's best friend now, which is lovely. What a storm. I've got a mother who's deaf, and how will she live? How will she cope? I have a sister. And who can't say anything bad about her, but I just didn't know how we would cope. And it was a storm. Then I remembered the verses of scripture that I'd said to you, trust in me, trust in me. How would we get through? How will we manage? How will the 11-year-old survive without her mum, because her dad had already left the home? How will she survive? How will my mum survive? How do you know what? They all survived. My mother went on to drive me mad. You know, bless her. The little girl is now a grandmother with two beautiful grandkids. You know, so we think, how will we manage? How will we cope? And then those verses, trust in me. Have you got a choice of faith or fear? Go with faith. Say, Lord, now admit it. Say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'll trust you. Don't always assume you've done something wrong when there's a storm. Now, there are times God will use storms. There are storms of correction, and there are storms of perfection. Spiritual maturity, you can decide which is. So if you've got an unforgiving spirit, and you have problems in your family, you might find out there's a storm coming of correction, because you should be more forgiving. But it may be that everything's fine, you're going through a challenge, and it's God's way of perfecting you, your faith. So perfection and correction in storms. And you need to, and if you're not sure, talk to somebody that's sensible. Do you have any sensible people in this church? No. Good? Okay. Talk to somebody sensible. The person that has all the answers is probably not the person you need to talk to. It's the person who says, do you know what? I went through that once. And I found God faithful in that way. Well, we're almost there. Where is your faith? He asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another. They didn't answer the question, who is this that he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him? Who is this? And that's the big question. Now, you and I know who he is because we've got the whole Bible. They didn't have the whole Bible there. The Old Testament, that was all they had. And they were seeking to discover. They just didn't know. He was in that planet. Who is he? And Jesus was unveiling him. Now later he goes on to the land of the Gadareans, and Legion, who had demons in him, he knew who he was straight away. That's because he had already met him when he was cast down. That's another story for another time. But who is he that even the wind and the waves obey him? And that's what happens. When we put our trust in him, we stand back and we look back and we say, wow. Who is this? And it makes us worship. In a moment, we're going to come and break bread. And if you want to say, who is this? that gave his life for me. Now we know who he is. They didn't know. They were still struggling with his identity. They were flowing in and out. Is he the Messiah? Isn't he the Messiah? You know, you can see that from the Easter story where with all the emotions running around. But now who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And the answer is, he is the Creator. John said, all things were made by him. So when he spoke to the wind and the waves, they said, the Creator is speaking. We better do as we're told. When he spoke to Legion, they did as they were told because the Creator was speaking. And when you come into your storm and you have that letter comes from the hospital, and the results were not what you hoped for, of course, a flood of emotions will hit you. But then think of this boat. If he told me to get in the boat, and he is with me, will I not get to the other side? Where the other side is in that situation, I don't know. The other side might be that you are healed. The other side may be you go to heaven. I don't know. But whatever it is, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the folk listening so attentively.